The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
The Bills stayed put at the trade deadline, much to the chagrin of some fans around Western New York, and the surprise, I would say, around the league, too. Lance, what is your take on this situation?
A big surprise. I mean, they restructured Taron Johnson's contract and kicked some money down the road, so it's not, you know, that Brandon Bean tried, a deal didn't come together, but especially on the heels of Ed Oliver's injury, Michael Hoyt's injury, Taylor Rapp's injury, to not add to that defense, quite a surprise.
I was surprised too. I remember seeing, I think it was Chris Trapazzo was tweeting out the times that Brandon Bean has done it each year of like, you know, 353, 342. So I was like on my toes all day. But I think, you know, whether this is just a vote of confidence in the team, whether other teams were unwilling to negotiate with him, this is the team they have now. And I'm a little surprised by it, too, given the defense.
Yeah, it's almost a vote of confidence in some of these younger players on defense who have to play bigger roles. They have to have some level of confidence in TJ Sanders coming back from his knee injury, yes. Landon Jackson making an impact in the second half of the season, Jordan Hancock continuing to build on some of the reps that he's gotten. So, yeah, I think that defensive tackle is the one area I thought they would add because usually those guys don't cost as much in terms of draft capital. You can integrate them into the defense a little bit quicker. But, you know, some of those guys that we thought or, you know, some of the national reporters thought might be moved, like Jeffrey Simmons from the Titans, didn't get moved.
Yeah.
So a weird year for the trade deadline. But also Brandon Bean doesn't have a lot of cap space. Doesn't have a lot of draft picks. So I'm sure that he was somewhat limited in what he could get done.
Yeah, to your point, that was why the Taron Johnson move was so surprising to me, or the fact that it happened and then there wasn't an ensuing move, rather, was the surprise. Where I was like, oh, what's Bean cooking?
Yeah.
And then nothing.
Yeah. I thought at least it would be somebody like Harrison Phillips, who they have familiarity with, a cheaper contract that you don't have any term on it. So, you know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. You know, the last 3 years, really, Russell Douglas is the only pre-deadline acquisition that's made somewhat of a significant impact. Amari Cooper didn't really work out in some ways. Nyheim Hines in 2022, not a big deal. But still, you look around the league and, you know, it's not like Denver didn't make any real big move. You know, some of these other contenders in the AFC, the Kansas City didn't go get a running back. So it's not like everybody else in the conference loaded up. I think other teams were in somewhat a similar position.
I was fascinated by Indianapolis.
Yes.
The Sauce Gardner move.
That is the big one.
Yes.
And they did have an injury. Travarius Ward had a concussion, I believe. So you give up two first-round picks, and that's a big contract. That tells me they're keeping Daniel Jones because you don't need a first-round pick to go get a quarterback.
Well, he has such a good nickname. Why would you not? Indiana Jones? Come on.
And he had such a good game against Pittsburgh that inspired confidence. So, now that's an interesting team. I didn't expect Indianapolis to be this good. It's just, when you look at the Bills, and I'm sure they, as much as Indianapolis is surprised, to me, it's the other two teams are Kansas City and Denver. They didn't really do much. And I do wonder in Brandon Bean's perspective, what he saw from that defense coming out of the bye, did that inspire confidence? Not only with some of those younger players, like I mentioned previously, but like the pass rush, the way Joey Bosa has looked, the way that Greg Rousseau has looked, that makes him think they can sort of press on without having to spend big on somebody before the deadline.
Yeah. And they've talked, you know, coaches, players, front office, even I would imagine is saying the same of, you know, we have to figure this out week to week of how we're going to move guys around because they've been so plagued by injuries. They've already done this to an extent. Bobby Babich was saying, you know, they have to figure out every time and some teams have to figure it out more than others. And the Bills, you know, have just been so banged up this year. But I would say, yeah, like what you were saying of it shows that they have trust in these guys, even though there are many questions from the outside. Some questions at wide receiver, too. Do you want to touch on that quickly?
Yeah, I think we should because, you know, Rashid Shaheed's the one receiver, the one notable receiver who got moved. Like, Jacoby Myers, I didn't think really fit with the Bills. Yeah. Rashid Shaheed, speed, can take the top off of a defense. That's an element that this offense is missing. You have to think, though, that Brandon Bean's thought is that Joshua Palmer's going to do that. Palmer's going to be practicing this week. He's going to be coming back soon. Is that going to be the solution? We'll find out. But they paid Palmer quite a bit of money in free agency to be that guy. And did they really want to part with two draft picks a fourth and a fifth, I believe it was.
It was, yep.
To add another receiver to that room.
Yeah, I know. That's just been such a talking point for fans of like, where's the receiver? But from Bean's perspective, it's like, well, here they all are.
Yeah, and so much of for this team to realize its potential, you're going to need internal improvement. Yes, like one yes. player could help from the outside, but you need Cole Bishop to have more games like he had against Kansas City. You need, you know, the other safety spot, Jordan Poyer has kind of stabilized things in a lot of ways, especially against the run. You need Jordan Hancock. Like, they're betting on the players that they methodically brought in over the offseason. Maxwell Harrison's another big one. Like, if we were talking back in weeks two or three, like, cornerback would have been one of those spots that could have been a potential sore spot. Well, not only Maxwell Harrison, but like Cam Lewis stepped in for Taron Johnson, played really well. So they must like their depth a lot more than some of the people on the outside, and that includes receiver. Catherine, the talk going into that Kansas City game was all about the passing game. When's it going to get figured out? Josh Allen expressed confidence that they would get it done. And so much of it, he put it on himself. He didn't want people criticizing his receiving core, and they delivered in a big way against the Chiefs.
He connected with 10 different guys on the Bills. Get it to Reggie. Get it to Alec Anderson. Like, let's go for 12. But in all sincerity, I think just the way he was able to spread the ball around, to get guys involved, to have Dalton Kincaid back in the passing game was so critical. And I think it showed what they're actually capable of doing moving forward is the big thing, too. Like, in a vacuum, big win over Kansas City. But the bigger takeaway for me is, can they continue to do this over other teams and into the playoffs?
This team doesn't have to live on deep passes down the field. No, some offenses is a big piece of it, but you just need to connect on a few of those to keep defenses honest. Josh Allen completed 3 passes of 20 plus air yards. It makes a big difference. You make defenses not be able to just stack the box to stop James Cook or key on those intermediate passes to Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir. It opens everything up. So, you know, moving forward, like Elijah Moore, that 28-yard reception, like he's – and he got open in that win against Carolina. Josh Allen just missed him. So is he going to be somebody that we start to see a little bit more of? Like, they're going to – who are going to be the solutions in the passing game? But it's just – that was the best game Josh Allen's played, the best complete game Josh Allen has played all season.
Yeah, I think, you know, you just look at what he was able to do and what this team was able to do together. It was, these were the Bills we were envisioning a while ago when we were getting ready for the season of what are they going to be able to do. I thought it was interesting when we talked Monday how Joe Brady was saying to him the MVPs were the tight ends.
Yeah.
He did, of course, then back up and say, like, and Josh was outstanding, which obviously. But just seeing, you know, what Dalton Kincaid and he counts Reggie Gilliam in that group with Dawson Knox, Jackson Hall, it's just what they were able to do, whether it's showing up in the stat sheet or not, I think is impressive.
It makes you unpredictable. Like, yes. the one catch by Dawson Knox, he acted like they faked outside zone because they've ran it so many times against Carolina. Dawson Knox does a quick little chip block, runs up the seam, and it's a 30-yard completion. Like, all three of those guys are reliable in different ways. And, like, Jackson Hawes, it kind of gets unnoticed, but with how good of a blocker he is, they can now run 11 personnel and run the ball really well. That's before they weren't really able to run the ball as effectively out of 11 because, you know, Dawson Knox, like, you know, if you put him on the field, people are going to think you're running the ball. If it's Kincaid, Jackson Hall is just an incredible blocker for a tight end. So yes. When you can have him on the field and he's able to catch the occasional pass, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think it's been fun to watch how they're able to start using these guys more and more, where it's like, this is what the vision was.
Yeah, and for that passing game to continue and for it to continue to trend up, the two players need to emerge and really make an impact in the second half. Not really surprised. Keon Coleman's the big one, but the other is Joshua Palmer.
Yeah, I think obviously Palmer's been plagued by injuries as of late, but when they're able to get him back, you know, I think we saw flashes of what he was able to do, but it hasn't totally come to fruition yet. And same with Keon, you know, you look at what he was able to do against the Ravens earlier in the season. String together some more, looking just for more consistency, I would say.
It's been interesting to see how they've tried to develop a role for him.
Yes.
You know, Joe Brady's mixed in some of those easy touches and, like, call manufactured touches, whether they're screen passes or really short passes, you know, like the one in New England that he fumbled. Like, it's just consistency, you know? Like, he has the talent, in my opinion. He's not this – I think everybody has a vision for what that number one receiver needs to look like. They think of Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. He's not those guys. But I think he can have a very significant impact, like he showed in the Ravens game, if he is consistent and catching those short passes and turning them to long gains. And Joshua Palmer, so much of what he did, it reminds me a little bit of Amari Cooper, where he runs those deeper routes, and it does impact how the ways that a defense can defend you.
Right. It makes them, like we were saying before, they have to stay honest, and it just gives the threat of this could happen, so you got to play us like it will.
And I like the involvement of the running backs in the pass game.
Yeah.
Like, even that last reception by James Cook, where it's a bootleg, Josh Allen rolls right, it's a quick, easy pass to James Cook. I just think that's an area that they haven't attacked enough while that passing game has struggled, where you've seen, whether it be, I mean, James Cook, Ty Johnson, or Ray Davis, they've been open as sort of a safety valve for Allen, but he's trying to look at his other options. And to get those guys more involved, this offense is so much better when they're not facing third and 10. I know that's simple. Yeah. Every offense is like that, but it did make a big difference that game. I think their average third down distance was under 5 yards against Kansas City.
That's huge.
Especially when you have such reliable options on those short passes, Shakir, Kincaid, and those running backs.
It is time for the Bills' second meeting with the Miami Dolphins. The two win Miami Dolphins.
A much different Dolphins team than the one that was in Orchard Park
Yes, the recently fired GM Miami Dolphins. I mean, however you want to split it, they are bad.
No Tyreek Hill. Jalen Phillips got traded. They kept a few of their better defensive players who are reportedly on the market, but this team's going to be weaker up front. It's interesting, though, Catherine, because the Dolphins, their defense was a strength last year, and they've been bad. They've been bad in more ways than one. And now when you're looking at the Dolphins without Tyreek Hill, they should be much more easy to defend. I mean, Jalen Waddle's the one receiver you take out. Devon Achane, the Bills bottled him up in week 3. So we'll see. I mean, they still have a lot of speed. You have to tackle well on the perimeter. But, you know, it's a matchup that, based on what we've seen from the Bills defense the last 2 weeks, I think that fans should feel pretty optimistic going into this one.
I would say so, too.
Yeah.
I think the speed element is interesting. That's always been such a cornerstone of this Miami team. Kansas City's speedy, too, and we saw how the Bills were able to defend that. So just, you know, what can they carry over from last week into this week? But I also, with these games, I always look forward to seeing what Josh Allen does against the Miami Dolphins. I don't have his numbers in front of me, but they are absurd.
They are absurd.
Yeah.
Week 3, they ran a lot of 11 personnel and just spread the Dolphins out, and they're bad in the secondary. This defense is even worse this time around up front. So how much James Cook do we see as well? And if they're able to get the run game going and use some play action and mix that in, yeah, I mean, good luck to Miami stopping Josh Allen.
I'm curious, what did you think of their move of keeping Mike McDaniel?
I don't know if – I think that he is a good – coach as a strategist, but there are some significant leadership issues, it seems, and culture issues coming out of that room. And I think that's what separates the legitimate contenders in the NFL from the ones that aren't so good is, you know, you look at Cincinnati right now, you hear the offensive players bashing the defensive players post game.
Right.
Not a great look.
Not great.
Very talented team that can win any week. But when you have that kind of discord and that dysfunction, which has been sort of the consistent theme with the Dolphins since they've gone bad, like, it's tough to pinpoint that on Mike McDaniel, but he is the boss. And if you have those kind of issues, I don't think it helps firing a coach midseason, though. It can only make things worse, and it makes it more difficult to evaluate your team. So who would replace him at this point? I would be surprised if he's their coach next year, though.
Yeah, they are reportedly sticking with him for the rest of the season. That is the plan right now. But next season, obviously, still a question mark. You mentioned Cincinnati. Do you want to talk AFC a little bit?
Yeah, I think we should, because I think that the entire picture matters as much as this one matchup, and it's almost a reset, and it's so funny. I talked, you know, a few of the Bills players mentioned this to me last week, just how much the narratives around the league shift week to week.
100%.
Like, if one team can win a couple games in a row and everybody's crowning them like the number one team in the league, and then all of a sudden they lose one game, then you know,
they're
terrible, yeah, and they have all these problems. So, and in that case, you see what you know, Kansas City's one loss to a good Bills team, what that's done to, you know, they're 5-4, and that's a tough place to be. Now you've got, you know, the Colts, you've got Denver. What is interesting, though, Catherine, that stands out to me is you look around the AFC, there's not that prolific running attack that, you know, because the Bills, the one of their vulnerabilities really is stopping the run. At least that's what, you know, it was prior to the bye week. And the Ravens have been really inconsistent. That's the one team that can really run the ball. Otherwise, if you're thinking about how the Bills match up against, you know, whether it be the Steelers, the Broncos, the Chargers, those teams really aren't run the ball that well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting just kind of looking at their upcoming schedule of all these, you know, still some unknowns, I would say, around the league of we're halfway through the season, but it's like, who is this team actually?
Yeah. And that you could say the same for, like, I'm curious about the Patriots. Like, yes. Are they for real? You know, they've gone on quite a nice run here. Drake May had some mistakes in that game last Sunday. Does he continue to look like, you know, a younger version of Josh Allen, which everybody's making that comparison? So, and that game between the Bills and the Patriots is going to be huge in December. And, you know, we know it's probably going to get flexed to prime time. I hate to jinx us, Catherine, but it seems inevitable. That's going to be that overhyped game going into that week.
We'll do the reverse jinx, okay, where we start planning for now and then it'll stay on Sunday.
There you go.
But who's to say?
Yeah, exactly. It's interesting because, again, when it comes to the trade deadline and some of the results we've seen, I think it's so easy based on the Bills' run of success the last however many years to focus in on some of the weak points and what can potentially hold them back, when the reality is, if you look around the league, Denver, yes, outstanding defense. Bo Nix has not looked the same as he did as a rookie. A lot of inconsistency. The Steelers, you got Arthur Smith, you got Aaron Rodgers. It's just very difficult for me to envision that team being like a legitimate contender. So to me, it's still very much wide open to where I wouldn't say the Bills are absolutely the number one team in that conference right now, just based on some of the inconsistency with the defense and the injuries. But big picture, like the gap isn't, if they aren't number one, the gap is very narrow.
Right. Or like, who is if they're,
yeah,
not.
Exactly. Yeah. I think the NFC has a lot more, I don't want to say parity, but they've got a lot more teams that have a wide array of, you know, they could beat your run pass, you know, a lot more unpredictability there. With the AFC, it's just, who's going to take it?
Yeah.
Really? Because the Bills just need to keep up what they've been doing. The schedule coming up, like, it's not all that easy either. I mean, look past Miami. We'll see about C.J. Stroud. I hope he's healthy, because I hate to see a really good young quarterback deal with any injury, let alone a concussion. But you got Tampa Bay, you got Houston. It doesn't – and then what? You think Pittsburgh after that? So it's not all that easy. So how are they going to respond after a big win over Kansas? Because that's an emotional win. How do they respond?
Well, it starts with the Miami Dolphins.
It certainly does, Catherine. We'll have you covered every step of the way. She's Catherine Fitzgerald. I'm Lance Lysowski. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll catch you guys next week to preview the Tampa Bay game.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations: Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.